Once again, says the Lord, I remind you, fear not, little flock. Fear not, my precious ones, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by my name, and you are mine. I've given you the tools and the weapons to come against the attack of the enemy. Understand that attack will not bring you down. It's designed to destroy my word, to destroy me, and to distract you from me. Don't give in to those things. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and I've given you the ability to overcome the world by the word of the blood, word of the Lamb and the blood of your testimony. So keep your testimony true. Keep your eyes on me. I'm telling you, you know that my thoughts towards you are good and not for evil, to prosper and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. Don't be dismayed. Don't let the thoughts and the overwhelming floods of anxiety and fear and torment come into your hearts and lives. Release it to me. Understand that I am in control. I have you in the palm of my hand, and I promised you that nothing shall by any means take you out of my hand. Nothing can separate you from my love. I will see it through to the end. I promise that my word will be fulfilled entirely. It's up to me. I've got you. I see you, and I got you right where I want you to be, used by me to be part of my the things that I have set before you and the things that I have planned for this time and this age. Just keep your eyes on me. Don't turn to the right or the left. Keep your eyes on me, and I will cause things to come to pass that you have only imagined or only in a fleeting thought about. And you'll know and you'll see and the world will see that I am the one who's in control. I am still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I am still on the throne of glory at the right hand of my Father. So be not dismayed. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith I have set you free, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I got a phone call this week. I don't need that silly microphone. The events that led up to this are not important, but I got a phone call this week from Patrick, and Patrick said, God's been working on my heart. I see some things. He's caused me to grow in a situation. And I can see, and I believe God's given me a word. I want to hear from God. How about you?
Amen.
You know, God doesn't just use the pastor. He can use you. Every one of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a doctrine. Amen? When you come together. And God wants to speak through and use all of you. I'm not here to usurp this pulpit. It's God's pulpit. So this morning, if you just pray for Patrick as he brings forth the word, and agree with me now. Amen? I'm anxious, and I'm excited. Can I tell you, I'm excited about things like this. I see God working in lives. Amen?
Amen.
And it's exciting to me, people stepping out. Amen?
Amen.
And being willing to share what God's doing. Don't hide your light under a bushel. If God's doing something for you, proclaim it from the housetops.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Okay, I guess there won't be nobody back here to make adjustments, so I got to do it first.
That's all right.
One, two, three. Everybody hear me?
Yeah.
That's great.
Praise the Lord. So let's pray for Patrick. Amen?
Amen.
We've already prayed, but we'll just come in agreement again. Father, I thank you for your life in him, for the gifts you've placed in him, Lord. We call on those gifts this morning. We thank you for the anointing that's in him, because you, the anointed one, dwells within him. Father, we thank you that you're going to speak to us this morning. We're going to hear your words, not the words of man. And we thank you that through this, the change you're making in Patrick will bring about change in us. We thank you, Lord, that it flows freely with wisdom and confidence. And for that, we praise and thank you and give you honor and glory. And again, we proclaim, we will not be the same as when we came in today. Amen.
Amen. Well, again, I'm going to still start off with prayer.
Praise the Lord. Can't get enough.
So thank you, Lord, that, you know, my words do fall to the ground, that I only speak the words that you want, the words that your people, your precious people, need. And so that's what we want them to hear.
Amen.
Not me. And we just thank you, Lord. I'm going to read out of Malachi, okay? This is Malachi 3, 1 through 6, and the key scripture is Malachi 3, 3. And the title of my message is, Are You Willing to Be Purified? So if you would like to stand in honor of God's word, please. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. And they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage-earners, and widows and orphans, and those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore
praise
you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob.
Praise you.
Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to go into the New Testament. We were in the Old Testament there. I'm going to go to the New Testament right away here and show you a picture of where this was fulfilled. Okay? This is the beginning. We can read out of John 2:13-25. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the money changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So we have a picture here of God coming to the temple. I just read that in Malachi about what Jesus did in Jerusalem was a physical picture of coming into the temple and purifying it. Okay? And I want to give you a little bit of history of the time back then, because we may not see it so well, but Jesus did not do what he did without cause. Okay? Some of the things that were going on back then, well, I'll give you an example. There was a temple tax that had to be paid. The leaders there in Jerusalem had decided that temple tax had to be paid in a certain currency. The currency was a certain currency. So people came from all over the country, and they had to exchange their money for the temple currency to pay their temple tax. Okay, that's when we're talking about the money changer tables. Okay, those were the tables where the money changing was actually taking place, so that you could change your money into temple tax money. The exchange rate was about a half a day's wages. Okay, so we want to go back to what it said in Malachi, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows. You know, these were people from all over the country that were coming into Jerusalem, and they didn't have much. They didn't have much. They were required by law to sacrifice certain animals, okay? And if you were the very poor person, you know, you could offer a turtle dove, for example. That would be the least expensive thing that you could offer. To be able to do that, you had to go, first you had to have your sacrifice inspected, okay? Normally speaking, what was going on at that time was you'd have to pay to have your sacrifice inspected to make sure it was without spot or wrinkle. And what was happening at that time is they're almost always saying, well, here's a little flaw in the sacrifice. So they would solve the problem by selling you the sacrifice. Okay, so if you bring your sacrifice to the inspectors, you pay for that. When they decide it's not worthy to be sacrificed, then you pay them again for a sacrifice that they said is worthy, so forth and so on. And a turtle dove, the cheapest of the least expensive of them all, was if you purchased the turtle dove there at the temple, it was normally going to be, I don't really know all the figures, but it was like seven times the normal price you'd pay for something like that. What Jesus did was cleanse the temple, because this was supposed to be his house of prayer, and yet it became so much of a all about money kind of thing. Now I want to read a little bit further in John. So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show us since you do these things?" Okay. Well, this was his answer. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So we have a picture here of people asking for a sign, and the sign was right there in front of them. Okay, they were answering, what is the sign? See, they knew the scriptures. They knew the scriptures. So it's almost like they're saying, we're looking for something spectacular as opposed to something supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
The supernatural was, there was the cleansing process going right on, and what was going on in the temple was so serious that you shouldn't have been surprised that that was going to happen. You're exploiting people, and money seems to be the answer. A lot about what we see today, right? Money seems to be the answer, and yet there's going to be a cleansing process going on.
Thank you, Lord.
When I ask the question, are you willing to be purified? Well, no matter how small thing that God might be working on us on, we can understand that being purified, like it says, but being purified like silver or gold takes some heat, you know. And so when that heat comes on you, it's not going to feel necessarily good. When God comes to you and is working on you, just know that the outcome's good. The outcome's good. I want to go through a few definitions. Okay, purify, this is from the Webster's Dictionary or whatever, is just to make pure, as to clear from material defilement or imperfection, to free from guilt or moral ceremonial blemish, to free from undesirable elements, to grow or become pure or clean. In the Old Testament, the word is Strong's number 2891, is a primitive root properly to be bright, to be pure, physically sound, clear, unadulterated, Levitically uncontaminated, morally innocent or holy. And the words in the New Testament have basically the same definition, okay? So a lot of what happens is when God's fire comes on you and he's purifying you, you know, just know the outcome's good, because when that bad stuff gets taken off, you're going to feel good about it. Okay, you're going to feel good later on. I mean, it's not going to be a long period of time. God is good. Okay, God is good. And I think it was interesting that the Pharisees asked for a sign. And one thing that we might tend to do too is, you know, God give me a sign or give me a fleece or whatever. So we might use it in a little bit more positive way. But so much of the time, the sign is already there, okay? The sign is already there. In other words, I want to go back and also look at the definition of the sign, too, just so we get some feeling about, you know, what to ask for and what not to ask for and what to look for, okay? Okay, in the Old Testament, the word is 226, is a signal in the sense of appearing, literally or figuratively, a flag, beacon, monument, omen, prodigy, evidence. One of the root words is to come, okay? In the New Testament, Well, first off, think about this one. You know, this is the Old Testament word for sign. So much what God uses as a sign is when Scripture is fulfilled. Okay, when Scripture is fulfilled, it is a sign of God's promise. Okay, I'll give you a really good example of that in Luke 2:8-14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you." In other words, what's the sign pointing to? The sign was to help the people know and understand who the Savior was. So, this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This is just a sign, but it was starting to give hope. And one of my purposes of here is to know that when you see signs of purification, it is not negative. It is to give you hope. It is to know that there's a hope in the future.
Yes.
Okay. Here's another thing about a sign. I'll give you another example of a sign. And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, that the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on earth." So another aspect of a sign is that it don't go away. It's not just a short, don't expect, if you're looking for a short miraculous sign, God tends to do things in such a way to be a remembrance in front of you all the time. You know, so another thing to think about, okay? When you're looking for hope for the future. Now I want to read some scriptures that will probably point us to tying this together with giving us more hope. Okay? 1 John 3:1-3. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure." You have that hope. You have this hope that we're going to be like him. So here's how to start building on that hope. You want to build on that hope, then start purifying yourself, okay? And I'm going to get to how we do this, okay? How do you purify yourself? Because I know that that's going to be the next question, right? "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." It's not about all how we do it, okay? You know, Jesus said he's going to do the purification, so...
Thank you, Lord.
Some of our job is to know what to do, okay? And the part that we know to do is, like he says here, right? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, doing what's right, right? Godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope in the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we already get an idea to listen to him and do what he tells us to do. And when he comes to you and starts saying, well, you're not doing something quite right, just listen and obey. You know, that's how we're going to be purified. See, the Pharisees had, there was the king right there in the temple. And right there, they had the choice to accept him. You know, and we understand that that was a physical picture. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back to a physical temple. He's coming back to this temple.
Yes.
To you and me. This is the temple made without hands.
Yes.
And so it's going to be a much closer personal relationship that's going to, when however he comes back, and I mean this is not necessarily end of the age, this is today, it's every day. Every day Jesus comes to you and speaks to you and says, this is something new that I want to do in you, or want you to do, or want you to accept, or some new truth, or whatever it is, right? That's the day of salvation. That's the day of purification. And you're only one step away. You know, Jesus just cleansed the temple. All they had to do was not set up all that. They just didn't have to set up the money-changing tables again. That's all they had to do, is just not set it up, and they'd be on the right path. You know, they probably had more money than they knew what to spend anyway, right? I'm going to go back to, I got another scripture. Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand.
Praise
God. So this is one guarantee. If you do wickedly, you won't understand. You won't understand. When God asks you to do something, and you don't do it, you won't understand why you should do it, right? You won't understand why you should do it until you do it. If God says, well, like Bill said one time, not too long back, you do something because it's right. Do it because it's right to do it.
Amen.
And he'll give you a total understanding that backs up what he wants you to do. Okay? So by being doers of the word, we will be purifying ourselves. Another picture that God gave me at one time was that we understand the scripture that he said he writes on our hearts. Okay? Well, if God's writing on our hearts, the picture I got is there's got to be a pen. Well, I'll just say that the parable is a pen. Well, guess what the pen has to do to write? It has to move.
Yes.
If a pen does not move, you just got a dot there.
That's right.
So here's the moving of the pen. God has to move us to be doers of the word, and then that writes on the heart. Okay. If you're not doing the word and you think you got it written on your heart, you deceive yourselves. You deceive yourself. It's not there. You think that you're okay by not doing the word, which is not, hasn't been written on your heart. So in order to have that pen move, it's an action. That writing on the heart is an action where God is telling us to take part in the writing. In other words, to be doers of the word, we will start having that pen move to write on our hearts. We can't write on our hearts, guys. No, but here's the part we do take part in, right? Is to be obedient. That's our part. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I'll go ahead and, since I've brought up the doer of the word, that's James 1:22-25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay? Just like I said, you will deceive yourself thinking you're getting that word written on your heart if you don't do it. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing the natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This is one this one will be blessed in what he does. I'd like to read some scripture from Titus 3, 1 through 8. Remind them to be subject to rulers. Now these will be other things that God will come work on you at some point, right? Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Be ready for every good work. God's got good works for us to do, right? To speak evil of no one. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So, this is another way to say, continuing in the purification process will build your hope. Okay? The hope, the blessed hope. That's when Jesus comes totally to the temple. You know, comes here and is here to stay forever in the new kingdom. Okay? I think this scripture also kind of reminds me that we focus on ourselves, not others. You know, you're not going to get other people to do good works. You know, you're here for an example, but, you know, it's not what you're trying to force on somebody else that's going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. It's going to be what you're working out. You know, you work on your own salvation, right? Maintain good works. Just maintain good works. Because it's not by acts of righteousness that is going to bring about, you know, salvation. Somebody's obedience will bring blessings into their lives, and they will see the sign of what the obedience accomplished when God brings the blessings, right?
Amen.
That's the other side of the story. So I think that that's pretty much, I think I got another scripture here or two. Kind of like what we see in the world today. You know, we see a lot of evil in there. Okay, so I mean, this is a psalmist is writing and speaking about some of those things. Psalm 12, 1 through 8. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. We see a lot of that with the politicians, right? I mean, one minute they're speaking one thing, they're double-minded, double-hearted. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with your tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is the Lord over us? Doesn't sound like he is speaking a whole lot of hope there, okay? But that was the cry. He cried help, and the promise of God is that he will answer.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
A righteous person, he will answer the cry of somebody who's crying out for help. Okay? And this is going to be the answer. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. God's words are pure, and that's why we can trust him. That's why we can trust his words to make us pure, right? Because they're already pure. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side. When vileness is exalted among the sons of men, you've got the promise of being preserved.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Lord.
And it's because of our willingness, to be purified. All right? I want to go back and don't have a whole lot more, okay? So when you see these things happen, when you see God come to purify you, right? Let that be a sign of the hope that he's put in there, okay? I want to read Malachi 3:3, the key scripture again. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Now, wait a minute. What did it say just there? He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He's already calling you silver.
Amen.
He's already calling you silver. So, you know, he just wants to make it more pure. That's all. Mm-hmm. You know, have you ever wanted to go to a jewelry shop and get 18 karat gold? Have you thought about getting 24 karat? You know, how about whatever karat? Why? I mean, you know, get the most pure stuff, right? I mean, you don't put down the 18 karat gold because it's only 18. You say, it's worthless. It's better than my whatever, right? It's pretty cool stuff, you know. This is not a negative statement. He's already saying, you're silver. I will purify the sins of Levi. Well, the Levi, we know that's the priesthood. God has called us kings and priests.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
He has called us kings and priests. And I'll purge them as gold and silver. But you're already, see, he's already saying you're gold and silver. He's just going to clean you up some more. And by the way, as we get cleaner,
thank you, Lord,
we're going to be able to help others, you know, from that vantage point. We're going to be able to help others from that vantage point. Okay? And that would be the end of the sentence there, that the end of the verse, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were serving God. They were doing what was necessary to get the law fulfilled, you know. And the people who were doing what the Pharisees and the Sadducees said to do, they were being purified. So how much more so if they got purified, right? How much more so? That's pretty much it. So I hope that I encouraged everybody, you know, in building your hope. Just praise God. We just thank you, Lord, that your word was heard here and is moving the people to meditate and think on these things, to go back to these scriptures and think on them, and to consider when you are moving on them, convicting them of something that needs to change or whatever it is, that they just submit and know that, hey, you know what, it doesn't take very long. When you say, yes, God, I agree with you, it doesn't take long for God to just restore it like nothing happened. It's like nothing happened. And that is that dross, you know, it's like that dross that comes up to the top, you know, that has to be taken off. And once it's off, hey, you know, I'm better. I'm better now, right? I'm better now than I was before, and I'm ready for the next time, okay? Amen? So thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Patrick.
We have a lot of good examples of that in the Word. Job, for one, lost everything. And yet when God restored, he restored it better and greater than it was with what he lost. Amen? Hallelujah. And we have other examples in the Word, you know, where, you know, God promises that he will restore the years that the cankerworm and the locust have eaten. And your latter days will be greater than your former days. He also promises latter rain. You know, we serve a good God. He's aware of what's going on in your life. He's aware of the things that are coming. You know, God's not taken by surprise like we are. And God's working in us. He's working in us constantly, both to have the will to do and to do his good pleasure. Amen? We're not in this alone. The scripture says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform that work until the return or the day of Jesus Christ. So I thank God that He's working in all of us, changing us, causing growth, refining what He's already done. You know, God doesn't make junk. You're not junk. You're not a castaway. You're not a throwaway. He loves you. He says, with an everlasting love. And I'm sorry, the only example that I see of that, the only example I can relate to with that is God. As human beings, one of the things we need refined out of us is the agendas we have. You do this and I'll do this. Or we put stipulations on people whether or not we're going to give them our love. How silly. God comes without any stipulations. He gives us one choice. Do it my way. Do what I tell you. Become my child, and I will bless you, and I will keep you. And once again, your end days will be better than your former days. When I started out in this walk, I was a mess. How many can relate to that? I was a mess. Hope was that. And today, y'all are seeing in me, I hope, what I'm seeing in you. The fire is refining, purifying you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Changing you from glory to glory. Causing your faith and your resolve to grow. Hallelujah. Got to keep our eyes on Him. Got to keep our mind on Him. He says, if you're keeping your mind on me, you'll have perfect peace. The one who keeps his mind on me will have perfect peace. We've got to resolve and determine that we're going to keep our focus and our eyes in the right place. He tells us, don't be moved by what you see or what you hear. And yet, because we are people who are created and who operate without God in our senses, that's all we know how to do. That's when God has to step on the scene and change us by the washing of the water of the Word and renew our minds by His Word. Amen? So we change our focus. We get on the right track. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I appreciate the Word, Patrick. I appreciate that Word. Hallelujah. I thank God that He spoke for you today. I received that Word today. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Obstacles can become distractions if we let them. Amen. Peace is not a thing, it's a person. Just like love is not a thing, it's a person. Mercy is a person. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The person of Jesus, the fulfillment of God's plan in this earth for His man, willingly and obediently followed. And isn't it amazing that at one point we even see His humanity saying, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But with the heart that was in Him and the commitment, immediately He says, without a hesitation after that statement, not my will, but your will be done. Why? Because He was committed to what the Father wanted. He didn't care about His will. He didn't say He didn't have a will, but that will was submitted and committed to the Father's will. He didn't seek His own. He sought the Father. Amen? When we do that, that's when we become the examples. And when we become more in the image of God. More in the image of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is there anything we need to pray about this morning? That's right. We'll lift Beverly up. Anything else? Anybody else?
they shall have the courage to leave the house.
It takes the knowledge of God and the peace of God to bring that. Amen? The anointing. Jesus Christ is the anointed one, right? So when that anointing comes, what's coming? It's Jesus, the anointed one, with the anointing. And that's what breaks the yokes of bondage. And how many know that what the name that she just named is a bondage? It's meant for her destruction, not for her good. But he's overcome the world, amen? Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Well, then, Father, right now, we lift up Beverly, Lord. We thank you, Father, for this lady that you brought into our midst. And now, Lord, we send the word where she's at. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, reveal the Father. Reveal the Father's will. Reveal the work of God so that Beverly understands. And she receives it now in Jesus' name. We thank you that she's raised up according to your plan and purpose. And we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And for Kelly's sister, Lord, this is not your plan. This is an attack of the enemy to try to steal the word, to try to cause doubt and unbelief. So we come against that in Jesus' name. And once again, we send your word. Jesus, you are the word. Go and touch this young woman, Lord. Touch her. Reveal yourself to her. There is no fear in love. Reveal your love to her, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that, Lord. And we proclaim, we prophesy, and stand in faith that she's free. And we do that because you have said so, Lord. For this we give you honor and glory and praise for the outcome and the testimony that's going to bring glory to you, Lord, and your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many are glad they came today? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. I encourage you, if there's any way possible, come to the fellowship this afternoon. We have a good time. It's just family. You know, some of you I've had the ability to tell, and maybe some other people have told you that you're only a guest in this house once. After that, you're family. The door's always open. We don't have stipulations or rules. If you're a believer and God tells you to be here, you belong here. Man, or whether you go come once and maybe not come back for a long time, you're still part of the family. And we love you. We care about you. And we miss you when you're not here. But we also want to get to know you better. And a fellowship like this is a good way to do that. And we want you to get to know us better. So I encourage you. If there's any way possible, come this afternoon. Like I said, we have a good time. We fellowship. We build each other up. We encourage one another. And it's a good time. Amen? As we break bread together. Hallelujah. So, Father, right now, I just thank you for these people, Lord. Again, I speak your blessing over these people, the fulfillment of your word and your thoughts and your plans towards them. Now, Lord, let your face shine upon them. Let your mercies overtake and overwhelm them and overshadow them. Let all the fulfillment of the promises that you have made towards us be evident in their lives. Bless them as they go. Bless them as they come, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we're still only scratching the surface. We've got a long way to go, but it's a good journey. It's a good journey. Now, Lord, we release your people, Lord. And as they go, Lord, be with them this week. I thank you that they're prosperous, that they're well, they're healed, walking in health, and all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in them, as in Jesus bodily. For this we praise you and thank you. Seal your word in our hearts. Thank you for the encouragement. In Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen. Be dismissed.